right, well, why don't you take your inserts away? We can work with this, right? We're going to anyways, whether you say yes or not. All right, why don't you take your Bibles with me this morning? We'll try to figure this out. Rob, we're going to try to reboot or something? Okay, great. All right, we're on the series Games People Play. You probably don't need that little sermon bumper again. They play checkers and Jenga. You okay? All right, so now we're on the Games People Play sign. I want to just do a little review for you, and maybe you could raise your hand and just answer. If you know, I'm not gonna point you out. I'm just going to enter you in. Anybody remember what was the first? Just raise your hand up if you think you do. Anybody remember the first game that we introduced in Games People Play? Marianne?
Charades,
yes. We talked about how as Christians, we sometimes pretend that we don't need help from each other. We think, yeah, I got this. And we talked about how that we all need to be caring for and counseling each other. We also talked about how we sometimes can pretend that our Sunday persona matches our weekday persona. Now, I didn't follow any of you around, but I know that I struggle with that. That doesn't always match, and we pretend like it does, but Monday through Saturday sometimes looks very different. So how do we change that? Well, first of all, we don't just absorb God's word. We seek to apply it. That's a way to make those things match more closely. And also, we talked about when you leave today, in order to have the same persona now as you do during the week, don't leave thinking that your only identity is either a child or a parent or a worker. Your greatest identity is in Jesus Christ. You let that follow you during the week, and those personas will begin to match more closely. Anybody raise their hand? Last week, that's as close as I can get you. Anybody want to raise their hand? What was last week's game? Battleship. Okay, some of you are being difficult because I asked you to raise your hand. Thank you, Loanne. Oh, I skipped Words with Friends, didn't I? It was the Battleship was last week, so shame on me. 2 weeks ago was Words with Friends. We talked about that Words with Friends for us can be a number of different people, and we use Facebook, we use words, we use emails, we use phone calls, we use cards, we use letters, and we talked about the way to really succeed at Words with Friends is to take those words off the board that don't please God and replace them. And I think some of you have been trying to do that. I've been trying to do that. I love talking to people kind of in between services or afterwards. Last week was even better. As I was talking to somebody on the way out, they said, listen, today really made me think. They were talking about last Sunday. Today made me really think about how I should treat my enemies. But I want to tell you this. He said, I'm still working on last week's. I'm still working on Words with Friends, so I'm going to have to put this one on hold. So last week was Battleship, and we all have to deal with difficult people. How many had to deal with a difficult person this week? Look around. I'm not saying it was you, but a lot of people did. And we talked about when you deal with difficult people, they may verbally assault you, they may be unkind to you, they may do things that hurt you, and you and I have a choice as believers. Either we seek to sink them, you hit my battleship. You either seek to sink them or you supernaturally love them by doing things that benefit them and you bless them with your words and you pray for them. And that is hard because some of you have really difficult people in your lives and even people that you care about are being difficult. And so you're trying to minister to them. So this morning we're going to start with a new game, and have we caught up yet or eventually maybe we'll... Okay. Our whole system is tied into the cloud. Anybody have any idea what the cloud is? Okay, Rob does. All right, Rob and a few others. I have no idea what the cloud is, but something's wrong with the cloud. I think Victor and Jesus just shook the clouds, and we're not good. So here's, and if you have an insert, you can work with me. And if you have Bibles, you can work with the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew back in front of you. So this is going to be great. You're going to have to use it because it won't be on the screen. So this morning, we're going to start with a game that I used to do with students when I was a teacher. And I'm talking about word search. I'm talking about game word search. And I believe that word search is another one of those games like charades that when you mention it, there's mixed review in the crowd. Because some people are like, I see all letters. And even when you show me the word, I don't see the word. So it gets mixed reviews. And some of you maybe tried word search when you were younger, or those crossword books drive you crazy, and you're like, forget this, I'm not going to do this, while others are really excited. And so this is what I'm going to ask you to do with me for just a moment. Can you give word search one more try for me? Oh, we're good. So on the back of your bulletin, this will be great because we'll have about 30 seconds. On the back of your bulletin, I want you to look at the word search on the back, and I'll give you 30 seconds. Ready, go. Try to find, don't look up here, back of your bulletin. If you have a neighbor, help them search. Try to find some of these words that are board games. Next one, Carl. Oh. There we go. I think you need to hit source one more time, make it wider. That's what it looks like if you need to visually do that. Well, okay. I don't know if that's doing it or not. All right, you got about 10 seconds. Come on. No pressure. All right, stop please. Here is the huge danger. I need to visually see this, if possible. I need you to turn it back over, because I can't have you spending the rest of the message finding the words. I wanted it to be like disappearing ink, but I didn't know how to do that. Quick raise of hands. How many consider yourself good searchers? Whoa. Wow. How many of you need to work at searching? You need like to improve. How many of you didn't even try? Come on. How many did not even try? All right. So, on the word search continuum, we have kind of all different spectrums here related here as far as searching and how much you consider yourself a success. But I want to say to you and to me that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are all called to be searchers. We are all called to be searchers. I want you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. If you have a pew Bible, it's 732. Luke chapter 19. Is that right, Rob? Okay. We'll do it. It's the best we can. All right, Luke chapter 19. Turn there in your Bibles. And a very interesting verse talks about the example that Jesus set for us. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. One more time, since some of you are still turning. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Maybe you like to write in the margins of your Bible. You want to write in there, Jesus was a person who searched. He was a person who searched. Because of his death on the cross and the resurrection, Jesus not only searched for people, but he also gave the ability for people to be saved. He did that. He didn't just provide the way, but he also sought for people. And while Jesus was on earth, he was fully engaged in the mission of serving and searching and seeking out people. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk a lot about the time that Jesus invested in his disciples. But these were not the only people that he spent time with. He was involved in searching for people. One example would be in Matthew chapter 9. I'll just read that for you. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. This is just a sample of what Jesus did as a person who searched. Listen as I describe what Jesus did. Jesus searched for people who were interested in discussing religion because they needed a relationship with God. He did that. He also searched for common sinners, outcasts, beggars, and even tax collectors because they didn't think they could have a relationship with God. Jesus searched for the religious elite because they were convinced they were all set before God, and they really weren't. Jesus searched for Jews and Gentiles and even Romans. The Bible says that Jesus searched for women and for children. He searched for all people because he realized all people were lost and needed to be found. That's what Jesus did. The Bible makes it clear, again, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the saving one. I think many of you believe that. Jesus is the saving one. But when he returned to heaven, he said to his disciples, I want you to continue searching for people. You and I cannot save people. Jesus does that. But when he left, he looked right at his disciples and said, I want you to continue to search, and I want you to pass that on from generation to generation. We need people searching other people who are lost with the message of the gospel. So what exactly does this searching look like if we're supposed to do it? Well, I want you to take your Bibles again with me and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 805 in your pew Bible, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to wait for a moment for you to get there because I want you to see these really powerful words from the Apostle Paul. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start with verse number 18. What does this searching actually look like for us? We know that Jesus was a person who searched. He left the message for us to be searchers as well. So what does that look like? Starting in verse 18, it says, "And this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's, our Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And as you looked at that passage and have it in front of you, often when pastors or teachers teach on this passage, they talk about that we're ambassadors for Christ and that we're supposed to represent Christ well in the world with our actions and with our attitude and our speech. And I think that's a very good thing. But what we're missing, if we just say that, what we're missing is this. There is one priority that's listed here for every ambassador of Christ. It says, ambassadors of Christ are supposed to take seriously their role as somebody who is a searcher. Christ's ambassadors make an appeal to other people to be reconciled to God. And who in this room is an ambassador for Christ? Well, according to this passage, anyone who has been reconciled now becomes a person who helps other people become reconciled. So the idea is that we have been called to do this. This is a primary task. So when it comes to searching, here's the first thing. I want to challenge you with this morning as we think about this concept of searching. Here's the first point. All Christ followers are part of the search and rescue team. Without me doing the very bold thing of going down and sitting next to you in the pew, which I won't do, relax. But if you call yourself a follower of Christ, amen. So thankful for that. But if you do, you are part of the all. And you are on the search and rescue team. So if you need to write next year in your insert all, write the word me if you need to. If you need it to be that bold for you. When it comes to searching for people who need to hear about Jesus Christ, you and I really don't have the right to opt out of this team. We don't. Jesus and the other New Testament writers never disqualified or excused somebody from the team because they were shy. You won't find it in the Bible. Or maybe you say, well, I'm kind of timid, or I'm not sure if I know all the right things to say. The Bible never excuses us from the team because we're kind of dealing with some of those things. It makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 5, if I have been reconciled, guess what we become? We become searchers. We're part of the search and rescue team. And I know for some of you that sounds kind of traumatizing or you're scared about that, but we should not be motivated by fear. Imagine for a moment someone gets lost. You know, maybe a child is lost in the woods or something. And so what happens is the call goes out. A child is lost. A call goes out for a team to be formed, and they're gathering in an area where they think the child may be found. You with me so far? So there's a child lost, and a call has been put out for a team to be formed to find the child. Now, don't answer this out loud, but I ask myself this question. Who do you think's going to show up for that meeting? Well, in my mind, people who know the child and love the child are going to show up. Yes? They're going to show up to be part of the team. I don't believe that anybody's going to show up that loved that child and said, you know, I'm here for the meeting, but I can't really search because I'm kind of timid. Or, you know what, I'm not really great at reading maps. So I'm not going to be a part of the church. That would just be absurd, wouldn't it? If you really cared about the child, would people show up and be part of the team? Yes. I have been rescued from being lost. I have been reconciled. So for me, it's not about duty. It's about love for the people I care about. I'm going to show up for the team. I'm going to search. So I don't want you to be afraid or intimidated about sharing Christ with other people, because if the meeting has been called and you love them, will you show up? Absolutely. So all of us are to be part of that team, to be part of that search and rescue team. Second thing about searching is this: developing a searching mindset requires that we stay locked in search mode every day. Pastor Jay, it's Sunday. I'm looking for people to give the gospel to. Great. What about Monday? Well, Monday's Monday. I take Thursdays off and every other Saturday. Developing a searching mindset requires that we stay locked in search mode every day. Turn with me another passage in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3. 851, 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse 15. I want to kind of give you a backdrop for this idea of staying in the search mode every day. Let me just go, as you're turning, let me go back to the illustration about someone being lost. If someone you cared about was really lost, because every once in a while you'll hear on the news, maybe an elderly person has kind of wandered away from maybe their home or place they were staying, and they put out those bulletins. If you cared about that person and you were driving down the road on a Monday, would you be looking for them? You're like, no, it's Monday. I only search on Tuesdays. Right? If you cared about them, would you be looking for them everywhere you went? Would you be in search mode all the time? The answer is yes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be ready or prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I don't think this verse requires us to give the gospel out every single day, but I do think we should be ready. We should be in search mode every single day consistently. This preparedness is not just about planning what to say, but looking for opportunities to say something. And what does that look like? You say, what does that awareness look like? Well, for me, it starts with prayer. Often I will pray, God, How do you want me to represent you today? What opportunities will you give me to represent you today? Or maybe you pray for God to bring someone along who's maybe looking for someone to talk to them. Does he do that kind of thing? And half the time, we pray it, but then we stop looking. And God shows up in just unbelievable ways. It's just, I'm amazed. Just the other day, well, let me back up a little bit. We just started preseason soccer. The soccer team at the high school, working with the high school boys. And the other day, I was on an errand with four of the boys. We had to do some advertising calls. It was kind of a fun thing. We're in the car, we're driving, and the kid in the front seat, he was talking with me, and he asked me out of the blue, what kind of music do you listen to? Okay. So I said, do you know what I do for a living? A couple guys in the back who knew me kind of chuckled. And then he's like, oh. And so we talked a little bit about that, and that was good. And then we were driving down Ridge Road, and we were going to have to, we ran out of copies, so we were going to come back to the church and make some copies. But as we're going by, I was talking about, I'm a pastor, and then I said, oh, yeah, this is the church I'm the pastor of. And he starts laughing, no, you're not. I go, yes, I am. And then he said, I went to that church in Awana when I was a little kid. I'm like, oh, okay. No, I immediately pulled over and just made him get saved. No, I didn't. But so it's interesting. So we went by the church, and he was still amazed, and he still didn't believe that I was here, and I had some other people to help me out. So we went by, went to another business, came back, stopped in the church. I said, guys, let's pile out. One, come visit my office. Great. He comes to my office. And so this same kid goes to my office. Can I sit in your chair? Sure. Then he pulls a Bible off of my desk and starts reading it. I go, you have the right side up? And it was awesome. He said, yeah, I'm reading your Bible for you. So again, that was just a seed. But was I looking? Are we in search mode? You never know when God is going to bring people in your path that you can begin those nudges towards Jesus. But the thing is, do you have that mindset? If he brings somebody, are you so totally blindsided by it that you're just knocked off your feet? I hope that we're looking and being ready to search for people. So let's be clear. This searching mode is not about being obnoxious. It's not about trying to convert every single person in Wegmans or Tops or Patton's or wherever you go, Aldi, Dollar General. It's not about wherever you go, you're going to try to convert one person every day. But here's what I want you to think about. When you go to, how many of you go to the grocery store? Great, good for you. You go into the grocery store, you should be in search mode. When you're hanging out with your friends, you should be in search mode. When you're going to the races, you should be in search mode. When you're talking with your neighbor, you should be in search mode. When you're at a sports practice, search mode. Working out at the gym, search mode. On your job, search mode. You getting the idea of where you're supposed to be on the search mode? Everywhere. Probably one of the safest places that you maybe can put the radar down a little bit is like right now. But once you leave here, you and I are in search mode. Searching, or a person who searches or has a search mode mentality, thinks about it often. The question for you to answer, for me to answer on a regular basis, is how often do you think about searching? How often do you think about searching? When you think about the most effective gospel search person in the New Testament besides Jesus, who comes to mind? Most effective search person in the New Testament besides Jesus, who comes to your mind? You can just call it out if you think of someone. Who? Paul. I knew that he would come up right away. So Paul started a lot of churches. He searched and reached many people with the gospel. If there was like an A-team for the search and rescue kind of organization, Paul was on the A-team. But it's so interesting to me that Paul himself didn't consider that he had arrived. One more passage to turn with me is Colossians chapter 4. Paul was a very experienced and qualified and godly person who searched on a daily basis. But I love what it says in Colossians chapter 4. It's 823, if you'd like to look in your pew Bible. Colossians chapter 4, this is a prayer or a prayer request that Paul gives to his readers. He says, pray for us too, himself and other disciples, followers of Christ, that God may open a door for our message that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. So I love that. He's saying, I'm praying that God will give me opportunities. So he's praying for the search opportunities to be open. But then he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. This is the A-list guy who's asking people to pray for him that he would present it clearly. This is what I took away from this. It really encouraged me about being a searcher. You can get better at searching. Because I know some of you may feel a little bit kind of convicted that I should be searching more, that I should be in a search more, that I'm on the search and rescue team, but then you're like, I'm not really very good at this. Good news. Paul realized he needed to improve as well. I need to improve as a searcher. You do. Good news, you can improve. One of the ways we want to help you is once community groups start, we're going to be spending 7 weeks in our community groups on how to share your faith. It might be even cool to kind of practice on the people in your group. It's always easy to practice on people that are already Christians. They seem so receptive. I like to be the antagonistic one in the group. You know, if you're going to call me lost, I'm going to be lost for you. But we're going to help you to get better because you can get better at searching. I'm going to close with three quick, what I call them, search observations. These kind of parallel some observations that I have made with students when we've done word search, but I think they apply to us as well in the area of searching. Here's the first search observation. We stop searching due to previous bad experiences. We're in the danger of stopping in our searching because of previous bad experiences. I remembered vividly, especially when working with some middle schoolers, that there'd be times when I would hand out the word search sheet to the class. And immediately some of them would shut down. Turn the paper over. They would moan. Pencils would go on the thing and they'd put their head down. And at first I was thinking they were being disrespectful. But then I realized, no, those kids that were doing that, they had some really bad experiences with word search, where the person next to them filled the whole puzzle like in 30 seconds and they didn't even find a word. So they gave up. They shut down and said, I quit. They didn't want anything to do with it. So here's the danger for us. Every once in a while, you'll have a bad searching experience and you'll want to retire from the team. Don't do it. I cannot guarantee you that every time you are in search mode and you think you've found somebody who's interested, that they're just going to fall down on their knees and come to Jesus. It may not happen, but don't stop. Are you still searching? Here's another observation. We give up searching too soon because we don't see results fast enough. Same classroom experience. Hand out the sheet. Go. And then they look over. They have 2, the other person has 10. They started it, but then they stop because, or they give up too soon because they don't see results fast enough. I'm here to tell you, it may take days, it may take months, it may take years for some of the people you are searching for to come to Jesus. But don't give up too soon. Shared a couple months ago about kind of what's going on in my sister's life. It's just been great. But the stories are not always super positive and encouraging. Friday night, we planned to do some searching. Remember what Friday night was? Yeah, well, you don't because there wasn't a lot of people there, so apparently you forgot. But Friday night, we had our movie night. Remember, we're trying to search and reach people with the gospel from the soccer camp? I want to tell you how many people came from the community that weren't a part of our church. Ready? Here's the number. 0. Yeah. Oh. I mean, we sent it out to all of them. We had a huge movie screen. And I came home. Pam and I were at this, but we drove separately. And when I came home through the door, she's like, oh, she's kind of bummed out. And I was. But you know what? We're going to keep searching. Was that the result I was looking for? Well, I got to tell you, 0 was not what I was looking for. Could you be tempted to give up searching too soon? Ah, those people, they don't care. We sent them we sent them 2 postcards. They didn't come to the movie night. We're never talking to them again. No. Don't give up too soon if you don't see the results right away. Yes? Last observation about searching is this. We struggle because we often don't search in all directions. That was one final thing that was great about working with students. I had those students who would only look from, you know, up and down and from left to right. So if there are any words that were diagonal or spelled backwards, they even if you showed it to them, they said, no, that's not it. Because it has to be my way. It has to be from left to right or up and down. And so they would not allow themselves to look in all directions. Folks, we as searchers need to look in all directions. You say, why are you putting together baskets to reveal to 20 different teachers in a public school that has invited you in? Really, go figure. Maybe that's the direction God wants us to search. Well, no, we will not enter a public school environment. We're a church. And if they don't allow us to preach the gospel the moment we give them the basket, we're not giving them the basket. Really? Well, I just use tracts all the time. I just hand out tracts. I don't do anything else. Nothing else? Nothing else? Well, that's the only thing I do. I'll never do anything else again. Wow. Happy searching. Look in all directions. Search in all directions. You know, certain people are going to respond to different things. Be willing to search. As Joe comes forward, one more time on Luke 19:10. The Son of Man, what did he come to do? He came to, say it with me, seek and save the lost. Was Jesus a searcher? We are called to be searchers. And listen, our searching is of much more value than looking for words. Eternity is in play. So the question is, will you and I be searching this week? Why don't you stand with me as Joe dismisses us in prayer?